Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show. Spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, to pluck the low-hanging fruit of the literati, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
Hello! We couldn't do a new intro, but Mike Edison is not here today. He's in Chicago. So I had to have two people come in to make up for the amount of noise that Mike Edison normally makes. My special co-host for today is an old friend of mine from high school, and we're still friends. Val Frankel, a very successful authoress, author of It's Hard Not to Hate You, as well as 25 other books, and the upcoming Snooki blockbuster Gorilla Beach. Hi, Val. Welcome.
Hi, Judy. Thank you. Or should I say Violet?
That's my pseudonym in her book.
I read all about Judy's hijinks in high school.
My dad said I seemed like the most sensible person in the book.
Oh, absolutely. No question about it.
Which is pretty scary if you have an unfiltered memory of my high school experience. But keeping with the mics, we have sort of filling in for the other Mike, although he prefers the more formal Michael.
Well, in writing.
Michael Malice. Author of the upcoming book by D.L. co-author of D.L. Hughley's next book. I can't remember the name of it, but Michael will tell us.
I want you to shut the fuck up.
Wow.
But the letters.
No, we might have it. They wanted a slur in the title because of Go the Fuck to Sleep.
Right.
So they're jumping on that success.
Yeah. It's going to be D.L. as Uncle Sam on the cover. I want you to shut the fuck up.
Wow. Are they going to have trouble getting into Walmart? Do you think?
Well, because he, you know, maybe getting into Denny's, but
oh, yeah. Well, they can get in; they just can't get served.
I don't know that Walmart has ever been a concern for D.L. Hughley, to be honest.
Yeah, he's kind of above that.
Yeah.
What we're talking about today is being shut-ins. Freelance writers are generally at home alone a lot. There are other professions that do that too, but the ones that I know are all freelance writers. So I wanted to talk to you guys about how you deal. Now, Val has family.
I do. I have two children and a husband who also is a shut-in. Well, he's an opera singer and a musician, so he works nights mainly. So, but we do knock around the house a lot during the day. And no, oh my God, not you know, in a nice way, Lucy. The daughter just thought I meant something else by knock about the house.
Having sex on every surface while you guys are at school.
That doesn't happen until they're at camp during the summer, honestly.
Oh, honestly. We're upsetting Michael. But Michael, I have cats at home. So I talk to my cats all day, being a cat lady. You have succulents.
I have 200 plant species in my house. That's correct.
And do you talk to the plants?
They talk to me.
What do they say?
Killed the mailman. And the dog agrees.
Wait, do you have a dog too?
No, that's what makes it scary.
I love the mailman. The mailman can make or break my mood for the day.
Depending if he brings a check or a bill.
Yes.
Yes, I hear that.
I don't know that I have any interaction with the mailman.
I'll listen to it. I'll listen for it and go like, oh, I think I hear the door. I'll go running like a little yappy dog.
It's my human contact for the day.
I have a really cute UPS guy. Sometimes I just order stuff from Amazon.
Just see him. To see your special love.
I do love him. But sometimes we get the fill-in guy. The fill-in guy will just leave stuff on my stoop.
Right, like, just in Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn. Like, that's not nice. Allowed.
That's against UPS regulations, too.
I think that you should write them a letter. We should all write them a letter.
So wait, so how do you guys, working home alone, you don't have a boss standing over your shoulder.
Well, no. Jesus is my boss and my co-pilot.
Well, not everyone has such a close relationship with the Lord as you do, Michael.
They do, they just don't know it.
They haven't been tapped yet.
Yeah.
How do you deal with procrastination? Like the temptation to go and just constantly refresh the comments on Reblogging Donk or something.
Well, this is, I mean, I've given a lot of thought to this question, and I've got a really short but really pertinent answer. You see movies that change your life and affect you profoundly, and one of those movies for me was About a Boy with Hugh Grant, who I loathe. But the premise of the film is his dad wrote this great Christmas song,
right.
And because of the residuals, he never has to work.
Right.
And he explains at the beginning of the movie how he divides the day into segments, like getting his hair carefully mussed
right,
up.
15-minute intervals.
Right, it's two segments, and you know, making cappuccinos one segment. So I actually have like extreme structure, or else I'll go crazy.
Really?
Yes.
So you mean you write from, you know, noon to 3...
No, I can only write for an hour at a time, but I'll do 3 shifts at a day. But I also have a rule that I, as a guy, I have to go out and hunt one of my meals or else I'll go crazy. So I have to have one meal outside the house every day.
But you just like at a restaurant, you're not cornering a squirrel
Or churning your own butter.
No, but like I'll meet someone or something like that.
You don't find that lunch screws up your day?
Yeah, I do. I hate lunches.
How?
Because you have to go somewhere and then you go.
Right. And usually it's in the city.
Yeah.
So you take the train to Manhattan. That's 45 minutes. And then you have an hour and a half lunch. And then by the time you come back, it's already the afternoon.
But those are 3 segments. You see, it fits into it's like Tetris.
I have to say that in, you know, what I've learned over the years watching hugely successful people in my acquaintance is that they gain energy from doing things like taking the train and having a lunch or a meeting where it sucks the energy clean
me
from
too.
Me. If a lunch, forget it. That's it for the day.
Wow. Yeah. I feel like I've accomplished something by going to a lunch.
Yeah, I get the accomplishment feeling, but I'm totally drained.
And then you could like get distracted on the way back. Like, oh, well, let me just look in Filene's or something.
Well, right, it's true.
Or the farmer's market.
No, I don't.
You know how ladies like to shop.
That's all you girls think about, isn't it?
Shopping in our periods.
Shopping in our shoes. But yeah, I think that's I like the time interval and definitely the work for an hour and then take a break.
And then you don't feel guilty about taking the break because, like, you know, sometimes your brain's like you haven't written enough. So if you program those breaks in, it's a lot easier.
It's true.
What about IM? Like, I cannot be on IM because, like, 50 people will IM me, so I'm always hidden.
No one likes to show off, Judy.
They're not.
I don't have that problem. No one wants to talk.
Yeah, no one wants to talk to me either. So. So you're fired.
But it's all people with real jobs who don't do anything all day because they're...
We have real jobs. We just don't go to an office.
Well, the thing is that they get paid to sit around and IM their friends.
Exactly.
Where we don't get paid unless we don't IM people.
Yeah.
So I guess I couldn't do the time interval thing. I just basically go until I cannot go any further. And that could be 10 minutes or it could be 2 hours.
But you're really prolific, too. I mean, you can churn them out and everything's good.
Yeah, I cannot. Since the new memoir came out, I produce right. But since the memoir came out,
what memoir is that?
This is the memoir called "It's Hard Not to Hate You."
Where is that available?
It's available where bookstores are, and in them as well, and also
and at
Amazon. But you know, it is. I am prolific, and I do come out with a lot of stuff. But it's all because I have to. I have to pay tuition and. But when the book came out, you know, I sent my mass emails apologetically, but it has to happen. And people at parents' night at school, 3 different people, you know, of course, I barely talk to the other parents because
you're
I hate them because I hate everybody.
No wonder nobody IMs you, Val.
It's true.
Yeah, hater. Hater hate. Hater's going
to
hate.
3 separate people came up to me. It's like, oh, I saw the email about your new book. Man, you sure do crank them out. And I have to say, I'd like a ban on the phrase crank them out.
I did say churn.
You did.
Churn, and crank. It's not butter I'm making. It's not sausage. I am.
I'm sorry. I think your anecdotes go down like butter, smooth and delicious.
Ooh,
I just felt a tingle.
And I feel guilt. And I feel guilty.
Husband and daughter sitting right here, Malice.
I feel guilty for eating butter, I meant. What is wrong with you, woman? Jeez, lady.
Now, what about the occasional... A lot of people, when they have jobs, I always enjoy talking to other humans. Like, how do you deal with the loneliness? Do you call
lonely?
People?
First of all, I like the presumption that there's loneliness.
I feel lonely sometimes.
Isolation and loneliness are not the same thing.
Okay, this is what happens to me a lot of times. I will work.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, into work, the abyss. Procrastinate, whatever, from 8 till 8. And then...
Wow, that's a long
time. Wow.
Okay, there were big procrastination
that's
breaks.
That's a big day.
That's a big 8 to 8, 12 hours of
procrastinating. Where do you fit your television in?
I don't really watch TV until nighttime.
I guess you're better than us, huh?
I like television. I watch a lot of crap TV. I'm not one of those I don't watch TV
okay.
people. And now that Oprah's off, I really have nothing to watch in the afternoon.
It's right. I don't turn on the TV until the news. But that starts at 6.
Yeah, I don't do that. But then when I meet somebody like for news. A drink or for dinner, I talk so much, so
I know. I always apologize too. I'm like, listen, if I'm interviewing somebody for the first time, mm-hmm. or if I just have a friend conversation with like a new person, I always feel like I'm blabbing, and I often apologize and say, "Look, I'm sorry, I don't talk enough, and I'm out of practice, and I'm sorry."
You,
if I'm
you
rambling.
Guys have it way off, and this is what I do all day. I have ICs or IAs, which are imaginary arguments or imaginary conversations. That way, when you're meeting someone, the anecdote is in tip-top shape. Or if you have to argue with someone, you have comebacks for everything that they say, so you'll seem incredibly witty and urbane.
It's true. But you're like a super genius. Like, you can catalog all those responses, and you're good to go. I'm just not that smart. I'm sorry.
I'm like, Inky, yes, get off the table.
You are that smart, and everyone's that smart. No, come on.
Nobody's going to... get on the table in front of me. I know what to do if someone stands on the table.
It
but
doesn't
like...
take a lot of intelligence to anticipate what a stupid person will say in an argument.
But why are you going to talk to stupid people?
Have you met the Earth? There's a lot of them out there. I'm looking at some. Not present company. Not the fam.
I do like to have at least one or two friend talks during the day, and I have like three people. You know, as you, I wrote in
list.
My memoir, it's hard
me
not
neither.
To hate you.
Wow, haters gonna hate.
I have three friends, basically.
Man, she's kind of a bitch, huh?
And I talk to them during the day, and also my mother. She usually calls.
I would love
your
to.
Your mother, who has yet to read any of your memoirs.
Wouldn't you love to get a call from Val? I enjoy speaking with
I would
her.
Love to
I
get
think
a call
she has
from
a lot
Val
of
too.
Advice to offer, but I guess it's never gonna happen.
No, we're not on her short list.
Yeah, we're not bronze, not even bronze medalists.
Judy and I often email during the day.
That's not what you... Who cares? We're not backpedaling. This is changing the subject.
Yes. She has three friends, yeah. Michael.
I guess you're number, what, 7?
8?
Judy.
Because someone's going to get ill out of those three, so she's going to call number 4, and that's never happened. So you're probably number 6.
I'm having a hot flash. It's happening.
Look at her changing the subject.
Wow. Okay, we'll let you off the hot seat.
No, don't speak for me.
Okay, Malice won't, but...
It's hard not to hate you.
What was that?
It's hard. Available at bn.com.
So, I'm a little sick today.
I'm sick of Val. In her uppity ways.
And her three. What? Maybe we should call some of your friends.
I know.
One Jesus. Of the three.
Maybe one of them will call in. No.
Well,
not.
Actually, Mike Edison might be calling in. He's on the road. He's promoting his book, Dirty, 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 which is also available on Amazon.com and many fine bookstores.
And at ValerieFrankel.com.
And he's going to be at the University of Chicago today at 3 p.m. Chicago time, or 2 p.m. Chicago time, which is 3 p.m. our time. So if you're in Chicago listening, you still have time to get there. Go to MikeEdison.com for more...
Details.
Info. Yes. Thank you, Val.
I'm actually reading Mike's book right now, and I think it's pretty amazing.
It is pretty good. Yeah, I like it.
As someone who is like 100% self-referential in the memoirs that I write, including It's Hard Not to Hate You.
Wait, how
Mike's
can you not
reporting...
be self-referential in a memoir?
Well, I am.
But how can you not be self-referential?
Well, yes, exactly. But Mike's thing is so well-reported.
Yeah, it really is.
So contextual. I mean, he really is putting these porn guys in their place in history.
Yeah, his Hugh Hefner take is not so kind to Hugh. Val, you took my notes for your hot flash.
She thinks she's better than us. I think that's the consensus.
I my hot flash is definitely better than yours.
So what do you think is the best thing about writing at home? I personally like sitting around in my underpants.
Underwear, yeah.
It's true. It's like a true cliche.
It really is.
The pajamas thing.
Well, my friend who lives downstairs from me just got a job where she's working at home for Discovery News. And we try to go for a walk like once a day to get out of the house and have human contact.
And you do boot camp too.
I do boot camp twice a week, yeah. But she's like, oh, look at me, I'm such a slob. I was like, you're still wearing pants that snap. Like, you haven't given it to like the sweatpants yet. So that is my best thing. What about you, Michael?
The thing about me with writing, I don't know what it is. Maybe some kind of atavistic animal thing. Like, I can't, like, if I'm going to the bathroom, I can't have people talking to me or be around me. Like, I've got to be in my space.
You're pee shy.
Well, it's also poop
shy.
If I'm doing number two and my friend's in the living room and they're like, I'm going to change the channel. I'm like, no, you're supposed to pretend I'm not here. Like, I can't handle it.
oh, my God.
So the same thing with the writing. I if someone's in my apartment, I can't do it. Like, I got to be so focused. So I just really like being in my man cave.
It's true.
Well, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to hear from one of Val's favorites, Ryan Adams, doing a song about loneliness. Not that Michael's lonely. It's called Dear Chicago.
I don't know.
It's kind of a windy song.
Dear Chicago, you never guess. You know the girl you said to me Sunday, well, I got something to confess. She picked me up on Friday, asked me if she reminded me of you. I just laughed and lit a cigarette, said that's impossible to do. Life's gotten simple since, and the fluctuates so much. Happy and sad and back again, we're not crying now too much, but think about you all the time. It's strange and hard to deal. Think about you lying there, and those blankets lie so still. Nothing breathes here in the cold. Nothing moves or even smiles. I've been thinking something super sad.
Okay, and we're
Hello.
Back. Hi. We're back, and people are looking
look
at us.
Lesbian.
Oh my God, they can hear you.
So?
They can?
I don't know.
No, they can't. It's a one-way mirror, remember?
Yeah, they can't see you either.
Listen to your mother.
Do press tam, Michael. Come on. Do press tam.
Press tam?
I think she's asking.
You don't know what press tam is?
No, what's that?
It's when you put your ass against the window.
Oh!
Ass on the glass. Nobody knows that?
Is that a little boorish?
Yes.
Well, yes. Thank you for asking.
So I can't work with other people around either. Like, going to coffee shops to write, that was like...
It's exhibitionism
torture.
To me, I think.
Well...
Oh, I know. I don't... The author Arthur Phillips, who wrote... He's a one of those literary types that is incredibly smart but doesn't sell a lot of books, unfortunately. He sits in this local cafe in my neighborhood all day writing his incredibly complex plots. And I just see him there and I cannot believe it.
Yeah,
I need total silence. Like when my husband comes in the room and he's sort of fussing around behind me, my desk is terrible feng shui because my back is to the door. And I just get irrationally angry at him.
Yep. And you guys at least
sound
have
like
two
you.
Floors.
No.
So I just sort of like say these really obnoxious things like, you know, how much longer are you going to futz around and annoy me?
Get out! Get out!
Get out! And then he leaves and he's upset and, you know, then we have a little fight, but we make up.
On the kitchen counter.
It's like every day is a drama working at home.
Apparently every day is a porno.
Yeah, porno with drama.
For a while.
And comedy.
For a while, Spiro was working out of our apartment, too. And we have a railroad with no doors.
Right.
And that made me feel like I was going to murder him.
Yeah.
But
you definitely need space.
Yeah.
For sure.
So what is the worst thing about working at home by yourself?
The downstairs neighbors with the reggaeton.
Oh,
every
wow.
song, what?
Reggaeton music.
Oh.
See, I'm not as white as you, so I'm familiar.
I mean, you're so black.
I didn't say black. That's Dominican.
Oh.
Man, haters gonna hate. And every song sounds the same, and you can feel it on the floor.
They do. They play it all day.
No, it's just enough that I'm anticipating them playing.
Yeah, noise is a terror. Like, we have dogs that live on the downstairs apartment, and they bark, and
you
I want to kill them.
You can get something to get them to stop, like these silent things.
It'll burst their eardrums?
Like, whenever they bark, they will hear a tone, and the owners won't hear it.
Oh.
And it'll work through the floor.
Really?
Yeah, or just put it like a mezuzah.
I...
What is that going to do? Because they'll choke on it?
No, when the dogs bark, they'll hear this high-pitched noise, and their dogs aren't that stupid.
Oh, so I had to put it in a mezuzah down there,
yeah,
on their landing.
But I think it'll work through the door, the floor. She's watching. Oh, these lesbians are looking at us.
Shut up. I have two personal trainers living next door who have really loud acrobatic sex that shakes
are they, you mean two gay men?
No, they're a straight couple.
Oh, okay.
They have the loudest sex I've ever heard, and one time Spiro thought it was an earthquake.
Oh,
and then we
God.
Heard their howls. And their bed is against our sofa. That's not really a bad thing about working at home. It just makes me hate them.
Well, it's a distraction.
Jealous.
The worst
I am
thing kinda. About the thing about working from home is the distractions that are there.
And if you're looking for one, you and can find it.
Exactly. I mean, even just sitting in front of the computer. I heard somebody say that the guy Joshua Foer, who wrote Moonwalking with Einstein.
I'm reading that right now.
Which is so amazing. I loved it. You're smarter than him, so you're probably in.
Wow, I'll take that compliment.
Anyway,
I'll remember that compliment.
What he did is he turned off his airport for 5 hours every day.
I have a program called Freedom that will block your internet access until you can say like an hour off. And you know, it won't,
counts down.
It counts right. down, and it won't let you go online unless you restart your computer, which I
kind of feel like I would be. This sounds crazy, even as I'm saying it, but I feel like I'd be ethically opposed. Like, if I need a program to do this, this is some flaw in my character that I need to address. Like,
oh my God, you're too hard on yourself.
That's what happens when you read Ayn Rand.
Don't you? When you read and enjoy Ayn Rand.
Yeah.
Right, for pleasure.
Yeah, I mean, I have no. I have a lot of character flaws. My internet addiction is just one of the smaller ones.
Right, and often, you know, when you're doing a story, like a journalism story, or just anything, and you need to check the name or check an address or just a source or something, you need the internet that second.
Yeah, and I mean, Michael, you probably don't remember the days without the internet when you were writing a story, but it was very hard. It's so easy now.
Excuse me, Judy McGuire, but my first paycheck was writing for Tropical Fish Hobbyist and National Aquarium magazine when I was in high school, and rest assured that the facts about the longhorned cowfish Lectura cornuta were not available to me at a fingertips notice.
You had to go to the fish library?
No, I had to observe my specimens and extrapolate from that.
And you probably checked your facts in a book.
I did. It was, there's this big encyclopedia about every aquarium fish ever.
Is it an ichthyology?
Ichthyology is for the scientists, so we're more marine culture, I think is the term. It's just like the difference between horticulture and botany.
So you traded your fish for plants?
Yeah.
Why?
The blackout. Harvey Pekar wrote a story about it in our movie year. The blackout. I had something called a soapfish, and it's called a soapfish because when it's freaked out, it can release a cloud of soapy poison, and it took out the whole tank, including itself.
Wow!
It was really intense.
Oh,
that would make
well. That is not going to happen with your plants.
That is correct.
They are not going to kill each other in a mass murder suicide.
That is correct. But they do whisper a lot.
I really do want to know what they say.
I don't speak French.
Do they say vote Democratic?
No.
No, they wouldn't say that.
So do you guys ever have people say, like, you should write about this, and then tell you some really boring story?
No, you know what
life?
I get?
Everybody does. Since I started doing more ghostwriting, random people email me saying, I really hope you'll write my story, or will you talk to me about writing a book, and I'll pay you, like $50.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me what I would charge, and I sent back a completely honest email and never heard from her again.
I get you should write my book.
Yeah.
Ayn Rand, I'm going to quote her because you will agree with her and that'll shock you both. She said, something is not of interest simply because it happens to you, and this is from the Archbishop of Selfishness. And that's really true. Everyone thinks their life is worthy of a memoir when clearly only Val and my lives are worthy of memoirs.
I know, it's like the willful delusion to believe that anybody else would give a shit.
Because how often do people pay you for your stories? Ask that person, you know what I mean? But no one wants to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, they want to believe that your experiences, that other people can relate to your experiences.
No, I think they just think they're special, interesting. But as Fight Club's taught us, you're not a special snowflake. By the way, Ego and Hubris is available right now. The Michael Malice Story by Harvey Pekar,
which is a brilliant book that
really
I totally love, and we actually had Michael sign our copy.
Every review was positive, which blew my mind.
Wow.
Even though the Onion called me a human cockroach.
Really? That's a compliment.
I think
from
they
them.
Meant in the sense that I'm indefatigable and can't be destroyed, but there's the subtext there too,
or that you'll survive past the next ice age.
It really was a fun book. So, what are you guys working on now, Val?
I am doing the edits on Gorilla Beach, which is the Snooki sequel.
Sneakquel.
The friggin' sneakquel, as I call it. And I am going to be doing another ghostwriting project with a very fashionable friend of mine who also lives in Brooklyn.
Obviously
not
me.
Who has a TV show about the things that you shouldn't wear.
Who could it be?
Who could it possibly be? Hmm.
I never have done a book without my name on it.
Yeah.
Is that like a dilemma for you?
No.
Okay.
No, because I figured
it would be a big dilemma for you, wouldn't it, Michael?
Yeah.
With the ego and hubris.
It's the Ayn Rand thing. It's just like I put my heart and soul into this. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe that's my mistake. And you know, I want credit for it.
Okay, speaking of ego and hubris, we have Mike Edison on
the
phone.
Oh, Mike Edison. Mike, I love your book. It's so much fun.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I hope you guys are behaving yourself.
Nope.
I'm a little fearful of Judy's imperialist ways.
We've redrawn the logo. It's just the Judy show.
You've been replaced.
I know.
We have another Michael here.
You know, we had some nice run, though, Judy, didn't we? We wore the thing with two heads.
You were good until you retired to the Midwest.
Let me tell you something. We're at the University of Chicago right now, and there is a room full of the best-looking student bodies you could possibly imagine.
Michael just said there's not a single attractive person in Chicago. True?
Lie.
Send me
not true, because Mickey Finn, the world's greatest piano player, is here, and he's very good-looking.
Send me a pic of one good-looking woman.
Oh, I could send you a few.
No, not Photoshop.
In Chicago.
No.
From Chicago.
There's plenty of good-looking women.
False.
Frankly, the chicks here are dynamite looking. This is like
you mean because they should be exploded.
School, you know, I mean, if you go to the north side, it's all like jocks and frat boys where we were last night. But this everybody here is like really cute and really smart looking.
I don't believe you.
And you had a pizza named after you, didn't you, Michael?
Oh,
you're out
awesome.
There.
Last night was the Mike Edison Dirty Pie coronation ceremony. This is the way this works when we played at a pizzeria last night. We fucked up these kids with our dirty blues and tales of pornography in a pizzeria, and now we're playing in an art gallery in a museum.
Why is this pizza so salty?
Why does this pizza taste like tuna?
Well, it doesn't taste like my balls, right?
Now, we have a child in here.
and a man-child.
So well, Judy, I don't want to keep you away from your campaign to take over the Heritage Radio Network.
You know, Katie and Patrick split up. It could be us next, Mike.
Who's Katie?
Oh, my God. You know, it's like...
Cage match.
Who's Mary and who's Rhoda? You know?
I'm Mary.
Yeah, keep these kids in line. I'm counting on you.
I got you.
Have a great trip back.
All right, I'm going to fuck somebody up now. See you guys soon. Bye.
Bye, Mike.
Bye, hey, Mike.
I think the pie had like gumbo on it or something.
Oh, gross. Hairy okra.
I don't think it's... I love it when people use non-traditional ingredients in those ways. It's just fun to try, at least. Like crab pizza.
Ugh.
Yeah, not my fave.
No.
Look at you haters.
Well, they have really good pizza here. As you heard, it's awesome.
It is awesome.
It's awesome.
I look forward to eating some.
Okay, so you're working on the Ghost Project. Michael, what do you have coming up?
I'm working on D.L. Hughley's book, and I'm putting together my own proposal about the world of succulent plants called God's Mistakes.
And what about your rock star bio?
But Brett Michaels?
Yeah.
It'll be in bookstores any day now. Yeah.
Well, I just went back and speaking of not everyone deserves to write a memoir, I went through and and reread my memoir proposal, and I have to rewrite the whole thing. It's really
This girl's a
bitch.
Bad. What a bitch. I hate her.
It's so boring.
What was your title, Judy?
Bad Advice.
Oh, of course.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, being an advice column.
Isn't there a show?
I believe there's a show coming up called Misadvised with your secret crush. Your secret crush,
Emily Morse.
Emily Morse on it.
It's not a secret. I'm gay for Emily Morse. I would love to choke her unconscious until the blood comes out her eyes.
Oh my God. Michael.
Oh, you're just jealous.
We are jealous, and we're almost out of time. Do you guys have anything you would like to plug coming up? No.
I do have a novel coming out in March. You know, something that I churn and crank.
I feel so bad for saying that. Now, I'm writing copy for a prom website.
So?
I'm churning.
As long as it pays the bills.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's why I don't mind not having my name on things. I do put my heart into it, and I'm proud of my work, and I wouldn't want anything of mine that was out there, even without my name on it, to be subpar quality.
Yeah,
but I figure, you know.
Do you get paid more when it's complete? I mean, we don't have to get into details, obviously, but if it's just completely ghost.
It depends on the project. Okay. Everything is different.
That's what I figured.
Snooki pays more than the prom website, I'm pretty sure.
Maybe not.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming in.
We love you, Judy.
Thank you, Judy.
We love
See you
pal.
Soon.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.
Listeners, we want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.